University life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. I'm so excited to speak with you. You have an incredibly infectious energy, but before we dive into all of the nitty-gritty, give us your origin story. Tell us who you are and how you got started in all this.
All right. So to understand, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. So it starts with I'm the youngest of seven. And we were all athletes. You know, my parents had athletic backgrounds. So there was a lot of competitions within the household. But now being the youngest, and for whatever reason, I was selected to have a late growth spurt. So I'm watching my brothers. They're over 6 feet tall. They're all muscular. They're dominating in their sports. Headlines, you know, in the newspapers, awards, trophies, ribbons, plaques. And here I am. Like, to put it in perspective, as a freshman in high school, I was 5'4", 88 pounds. And so the first time I had doubt cast upon me was I went to the track coach and I asked him for the record books. And he gave me one of these. He's like, "Why do you want the record book?" And I was like, "Cause I'm going to break the high jump record." And he's like, "You don't have what it takes to be a high jumper." I was like, "Oh, okay." And at the time, he was right, but he didn't, I knew my time was coming. So like, I was just, what was going to get my goals ready. And I held that record for 21 years.
That is incredible. Right? Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Like once I finally, between sophomore and junior year, I grew like 5.5 inches. So I was still skinny, but I was at least taller now. So all that hard work paid off. And when I got inducted into my high school Hall of Fame, because I only had that coach only my freshman year. Then sophomore on, we had a different coach. But he was at the induction. And I said, "Thank you for lighting that fire." So that's how I forged my competitive spirit. So everything I do now is through the lens of a competition. So like I started my fitness business in 2009. During the recession, and people are like, "You're crazy. How are you going to do this? Like, everything is tanking." I said, "Because my vision is strong. It's like, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. This is happening." Now, was it pretty? No. You know, it was definitely a squiggly line. It was definitely not a straight line. But we made it happen because I looked at it through that competitor's lens. And there's so many different facets to my story. Like, you can pick any avenue that you want to go down, and I have a story for it.
I love that. And I love your enthusiasm for when you speak.
Thank you.
Now, there's so many directions I think that we could take this to your point, but I'm very interested in this direction about what you just initially said about this competitive spirit. How do you look at things as a competition, but not let it become toxic? Because for me, I can't let myself fall into that either.
So it's not about me. It becomes toxic when it's all about me boosting myself up, pumping myself up. It's not about that. Like when I'm sharing my stories, I share it to the audience on whatever they're going through. So like if I'm talking about, like I mentioned before we started, about helping people interview, because a lot of people can't talk about themselves, hence the name of my program, Speak About Yourself Out Loud, right? And how I figured out that was a lane was actually during COVID, because I figured the gyms are shut down, so I may as well learn something. So I joined the mastermind on how to get media coverage and get on TV and all that. And as people were going around in the mastermind, they could not introduce themselves. It was awful. Like I'm sitting here listening. I'm like taking names. I started inboxing people. I was like, "Hey, I can help you out with that intro."
And they're brilliant people. So often, yes, they're wonderful, gifted, talented people, but just no awareness.
Absolutely. And one part I left off of my origin story that's definitely relevant is I had a bad stutter growing up. Bad, to the point where I was just afraid to speak. And ironically, I speak all the time now. But every now and then, it'll still catch up to me. If I'm like really excited about something, I might trip over a couple words. But when I tell you, it was like, mom, you know, it was like, I get so frustrated and so mad. And, you know, young kids aren't so nice to each other in school. And it's like just getting picked on all the time and teased and laughed at. Like it was awful. So I just tried to shell it. But then I finally went through speech pathology because people end up thinking that there's something wrong with them. And that's what I thought. I thought, why is this happening to me? And none of my other siblings have this issue. It was like, what is wrong with me? But then once I went to speech pathology and they were saying that just my brain and my mouth were just not in alignment. Like my brain's trying to spit everything out so rapidly that the mouth can't keep up. And so then once I realized, okay, so it's not me, then I was able to get it under control.
And you're right. And I think making it all about yourself is very dangerous because you want to push yourself for that peak potential, that maximum productivity, but especially in university years, you're figuring out who you are. You're trying to figure out your path. And we all know that shifts and changes as we grow. And you're also trying to figure out how to cope in a new environment away from, or oftentimes away from your support system.
Yes, absolutely.
So as far as that, how do you push yourself to compete and be productive and achieve while also still having grace for the fact that in university, you're going through massive transition?
True. So it's about keeping your eye on the prize. It's like society tries to shape us into what society wants us to be. Because the people who run the world, which is not the government, okay, there's people above the government that run the world, and they need workers, right? They need workers. So they're not going to teach people how to make themselves independently wealthy because Walmart needs staff, the malls need staff, the movie theaters need staff. So they're going to teach people just enough to earn a living. So once you break free from that, right? And to illustrate that point, I actually spoke at a middle school career fair a couple of years ago. And so I was talking about entrepreneurship. And so I just asked, now middle school, so you talk, it's like what, 11 to 13, somewhere in that ballpark. I said, all right, I said, what's the life cycle of a human? Right? And so I call on this one young girl, she stands up and she's like, you go to school, you go to college, you get married, you work, you retire, and then you die. So at the age of 11, they're already programmed with that's your destiny. And so once you break free from that, and then you focus on the things that you really want to do, then you don't need any external factor. It's like when my alarm goes off at 4:30 this morning, and I have stuff all day long, and I coach track and field too. So we have a track meet tonight at JV State. It's going to be a long meet, and I'm probably not going to get back home until 10. It's like I might be physically tired, but my soul is rested because it's not about me. So my show is about overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, showing up on platforms like yours to inspire the next generation, being here in the class, teach 4 classes in the morning at the gym, helping people get healthier and helping them with their mental clarity as well. So everything I do, it's not about me. And so when you're in that lane, it's easy to stay focused. And that, now there's nothing wrong with people that work 9 to 5. Like being an entrepreneur is not for everyone. But if you're stuck in that environment, that's where all those bad things tend to creep into your mindset.
You bring up a really good point about your soul is not tired. Your body might be, but your soul is not, because you're doing work that you're very passionate about. And I think in university, it's so important to think about, am I truly passionate about this field or this thing or this hobby? Or do I feel like I have to do it to be good enough?
See, so I'm 50 years old. So I've experienced a lot. And there's so many people now with degrees who are doing something that has nothing to do with that field. See, that's because they're like, I don't want to say the system is rigged. I don't want to say that. But they're forced at a young age when they're still developing to try to pick a lifelong career. Like, I didn't get into fitness till I was 32. You know, it's like I was an athlete my entire life, but I ended up falling into the restaurant trap. And, you know, there were some people that loved that industry, but I stayed in it because you're told if you don't go to college, you're going to end up pumping gas, you're going to end up flipping burgers. And so, like, you just get that in your mind. So I kind of fell into fitness. Like, it wasn't a thing. I started it because I was starting to bring the stress of the restaurant home. And I was coming out of myself. It's like, I'm a happy-go-lucky, I'd say 99.9% I'm positive. You know, every now and then, something might, because I am human, I have moments, you know, but 99% of the time, I'm positive and I'm optimistic. And so I was starting to become out of character. And so I actually started a gym in my garage. It was really for me. Just so I'll come home after the 12 hours, you know, do some boxing, throw some weights around and de-stress that way. Then I can go inside and be present. And then I was like, as I accumulated more stuff, more equipment, I was like, maybe I should train a couple people, you know, why not? And yeah, a couple people turned out to grow to like 40, 45 people training out of my garage. And so now you start weighing the odds. You know, it's like 60 hours a week and I'm making this much, 12 hours a week and I'm making almost the same. Right? So you start thinking. So I always tell people what it is you want to do in your life. Like if you're stuck in a rut, the answer is already in your subconscious mind. Right. And so on my podcast, I've done 333 episodes. And one thing that I find, I always start with the guest backstory. And it's typically something that they were doing. They fell into something else. And now they're back doing that thing that they want to do. So it's already, so a lot of kids, even the college age kids, they probably already, it's already in their mind what they want to be doing. They just don't believe they can do it.
Yeah. And you have to have that faith in yourself. And shifting gears to your point, you have to be able to articulate what it is that you want to do. And that is really hard, particularly if the mission is connected to you. So you said you were around these brilliant people and they couldn't talk about themselves. Why did you decide to go into that field and take matters into your own hands? Like, what was the inspiration?
Well, people always say, be the change, right? Be the change. So here is a problem. I have a gift in that area. So it's like, in everything I do, again, whether it's being here at the gym, whether it's working with the athletes, is I can get people to believe that they can run through a brick wall. It's like, that's my, you said it earlier, that's my zone of genius. You know, so like as I was starting on the fitness journey, I didn't have a degree. I didn't have the best credit. I didn't have a ton of savings, but I leaned into that superpower. It's like people are buying in to what I'm doing. So I'm just going to keep going. And then somewhere down the line, someone's going to invest. And I'm patient and persistent enough with the things that I want to accomplish. And, you know, a big message that I have for people is to stop doubting yourself. You know, stop doubting yourself. Like, I've always been passionate about that. So that was why I picked that niche. It's like, you can't speak about yourself because you doubt yourself, whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's low self-esteem, you know, low self-confidence. But the key words there is self. It's like, you have to take care of yourself. Like, I tell people, like, being selfish is necessary as long as it goes to bettering the lives of other people.
I agree completely. And to your point, self-trust. A lot of people do not have situational self-trust in the speaking realm. So let's talk about it. How did you start identifying and working with people on how to intro themselves?
Yeah, so the more masterminds that I did, because in 2020, like I said, the gyms were closed for a few months. So I just started joining different groups. And like I said, just the more groups I joined, the more I saw that there is a need for this. And also, like, if you're looking on websites, I mean, I know we have a lot of apps now, but if you're looking on websites and you read people's about sections, and it's so boring, you know, it's like when I read your about section, like I should get excited about the possibility of working with you. And so many of them are just like, hi, I'm John. I did this. I do this now. And this is who I help. Here, sign up for my free thing. Right. But it doesn't really reach out and just speak to that person. Like, the moment I knew that I actually had a gift in this was in 2016. I was a speaker at the FitRanks World Conference in Las Vegas. And so I'm up there doing my thing. So I come off the stage and this couple and one of their sisters come up to me, tears, total tears, right? My topic was becoming who you were meant to be. Because like I said earlier, society conditions you for what society wants you to be. And I said, but you have somebody inside of you. You got a warrior in there that is waiting to bust out. I was like, if that's you, you got to take control. It doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to have all the answers. Just walk in that direction because we have opportunities all around us, right? Like one of my pet peeves is when people say that, oh, there's no opportunities. Opportunities are waving at you every second of the day. But people are so focused on their struggles, on their challenges, on their setbacks, that they're walking right past that opportunity. Is like, hey, life-changing moment right here.
How do you think for a university student? Because I love what you're saying. And you're right. I think there was a time in my life where I didn't see the opportunities either, because it's easy to get in that rut. And especially in university, choosing the right friend group, choosing to be around the right people is tough. How do you think if people knew how to speak about themselves from a younger age, it would change their life?
All right, so I'll share a story to answer that, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's always okay. I'm loving listening.
So there was a young man who was going to college in Florida. So now his mom, I actually interviewed her on my show. Well, actually, I stumbled upon it. We were both panelists on another show. That's what it was. Then from that panel, she came on my show. And then, like, we became friends pretty much. And so she's a clinical psychologist, okay? Someone with a PhD, okay? I dropped out of college, okay? And she hired me to work with her son. So her son, at the time, he was 23, I believe, and he has Asperger's, you know? And for those that don't know, that's a form of autism. So as I start working with him, I could tell the body language. He's slumped over, talking quiet, hands over the mouth. And so long story short, he was using Asperger's as a crutch. He's like, he was a freelance writer. Like his dream was to go to like weird jobs, spend some time on the weird job and then write about it. Right. Sounds pretty cool to me, but he was afraid that people wouldn't hire him because he has Asperger's. I said, listen, my friend, we got to reframe this. Okay. That would be like if I use my skin. You know, it's like, this isn't who I am, you know? So, right, it's not who I am. So it's my job for people that may not like that. I got to help them see past that. And so I said, okay, I said, you have Asperger's, so we're going to help you thrive in spite of, okay? In spite of, we're going to have you do this, because then think about how powerful that story is. And so we spent a couple sessions just really building up his self-confidence. And so now we're like, all right, let's figure out why you can't get a job. And I'm like, send me your resume. His resume was awful. Right. So we spent the next 3 weeks building out his resume. And then we spent the last 5 sessions where I was acting as an employer and he was pitching himself to me. And so I think it was 2 months later, he emailed me that he got an internship. So then he emailed me that he got a second internship, and now he's back home in Denver, Colorado, and he's got 2 freelance writing gigs. I'm not sure if he's doing the weird job thing, but he has 2 freelance writing things. So me teaching him, or basically helping him discover the talents that he has within him, even at the age of 23, and then he was able to take that confidence and go out and do that thing that he wanted to do. That's the best. That's better than any amount of money to get paid, to watch people have that moment. If I can share another quick one, if we have time. So I worked in Providence. I volunteered for this company called Social Enterprise Greenhouse. So they help people typically in lower income communities who have an idea, and they help them turn that idea into a business. So my role was to help prepare them for the pitch at the end. So because at the end of the, I believe it's a 12-week accelerator, and then they'll get to pitch whatever their business is to possible investors. So the woman I got paired with, deathly afraid of public speaking, deathly afraid. Like our first couple sessions, she was just like a stuttering mess. So shy, again, body language, you could tell she was very uncomfortable. I think we did 8 sessions together. So we fast forward to the pitch. When I tell you, Brooke, brought tears to my eyes. She nailed that pitch. So like she was up, the tone was great. She looked confident. You could tell her face was lit up. The delivery was spot on. And watching that moment, Like, I would do it for free. It's cool that I get paid for it, but I would absolutely do it for free. And that's how you know you're where you're supposed to be.
Getting paid for your passions is good, though. So for anyone listening, you want to be like Rob and I, you want to get paid to do the things that you really, really love. So to your point, I love both of your stories. It's that conviction, right? Is going into a job interview or an internship interview. If you don't genuinely believe that you are worthy of an opportunity or that you're worthy of somebody's time, effort, or energy, you're not going to see that reward, right? You're going to your point, have the body language. You're going to speak very quietly. And then that also reinforces negative stereotypes about young people and their inability to communicate due to cell phones and social media. You know, Rob, I'm very excited to ask you this question because you are such a good storyteller. This is a tough question for so many of my guests. If you were going to give three pieces of advice, and they can be regarding anything, to university age students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Vision, drive, perseverance.
Ooh, I love that. Do you want to expand on each point or is that all of it?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Like I tell people, no matter who you are, what you look like, none of that stuff matters. If you have those three things, you can accomplish absolutely anything. So vision has to be deeper than just a goal. Anybody can set a goal. Like you say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds by June, right? That's a goal. But if you say by June, I want to be in a size 8. I want to be look this way. I want toned arms. I want to be in my bathing suit, looking and feeling confident and just feeling amazing. I want more energy. I want to drop my cholesterol 3 points like that. That's deep than just doing something on the surface. And then drive. You have to want it, right? It shouldn't take anything external for you to get up and go get that thing. Shouldn't take anything. Like I tell people in the gym, I'm like, do not say the word motivation because motivation is external. I said, we're going to teach you to be disciplined. I don't care if it's dark when you wake up. I don't care if it's cold. I mean, snow, we got to play judgment because of safety issues. But like, I don't care if it's raining. Like, do what you got to do. Like, we do a lot of obstacle races and we train in all the elements because we don't know what we're going to get on obstacle day. It might rain. It might be 40 degrees. It might be 90 degrees. So we train in all of the elements because we have to get that thing done. And then perseverance. Stop quitting when stuff gets hard. Okay? And I see that a lot with the younger generation. The going gets tough. They just leave. You know, they just leave. It's like that's not how life works. You have to go through, you're going to go through stuff, okay? It could be physically painful. It could be mentally painful. It could be emotionally painful. But that's how you forge resilience. And that's how you become emotionally bulletproof.
I love that. I love that you brought it back to emotionally bulletproof. That's one of my new favorite terms. Now, speaking of favorite terms, is there like a quote, mantra, something that you live your life by?
So Martin Luther King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of peace and calm, but rather where he stands during controversy and conflict.
I love that. That is beautiful and something that we would do well to remember.
Yes. Yeah, because people, it's easy to shine when everything is going great. You know, when everything's going great. It's easy. But when stuff is hitting the fan and life is coming at you from 100 different ways, like when my father was dying, like he was sick from January to November of 2019, but I still had to show up and go to the gym. I still had to show up and get on my podcast. The day after he died, I had a podcast the very next day and I could have easily canceled it. Nobody would have questioned me on it, but I got up there for the first 10 minutes of the episode and I just gave a teary tribute. My father. It's like just the quicker you tackle things, the quicker you accept things, that much like you're going to have a lot less stress in your life. But we just stuff it down. We scroll on TikTok. We just do everything we can but address what's happening. You know, so once you address it and then it'll start, you can start to heal now. Like an analogy I use is if you gash your arm, what's the first thing you have to do? Yeah, you got to stop the bleeding, right? You got to stop. That's the very first thing you have to do. So when you're when you're full of stress or you're dealing with anxiety, whatever it is you're dealing with, you have to address the root cause. You know, and the people that can do that, they're going to have a much easier path in life.
Yeah, and it holds less power over you.
Yes, absolutely.
So that you can live the beautiful, passionate, fulfilled life that you want to live, just like our beautiful friend Robert here, who is full of so much enthusiasm and energy and joy. And as we wrap up, I have two questions for you. Firstly, if somebody is inspired by you and they love you and they want to learn more, where do they go?
So the best is my website, where I'm actually giving out a free PDF of one of the worksheets in the book. It's Prioritizing Yourself Without the Guilt. So now the website's under construction, so it's not pretty yet, but I always say done is better than perfect. So at least it's there. You can start getting that information, and we're working on upgrading it. The book can be found at shutupandgrindthebook.com, and the podcast Shut Up and Grind is on any of the podcast platforms.
I love that. Now, as we wrap up here, is there anything I did not ask you that you wanted to say?
Not really. Like I said, I have tons of stories, like tons.
We'll have to bring you back.
Absolutely. I actually want you on mine, too.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Well, thank you. And you guys will have to migrate over there and listen to it. Well, I really appreciate you sharing time out of your very, very busy schedule with us to share your enthusiasm and your nuggets of wisdom and all of your joy with us here at Campus Chronicles.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.